Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was an eminence.
That would be really weird.
It's an imminent front.
It's imminent that I make it to Strange Brew for an albino squirrel.
There it is.
Or Churn and Spoon for a Thunder and Lightning milkshake.
Ooh, so good. So good.
If you go in there and you say you want a Thunder and Lightning milkshake, they'll have no idea what you're talking about.
But you can feel good about it.
But we're going to continue to say it.
Exactly.
Until it becomes a thing.
Do you know my actual favorite milkshake is at Churn and Spoon? It's not the Oreo cheesecake.
Trying to think what you enjoy.
You're not going to get it out.
Am I going to get it?
Nah.
It's the Fruity Pebbles.
The cookie butter.
The cookie butter.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Is that like cookie dough type?
You ever had you've been on an airplane and had a Biscoff cookie?
Oh, yeah.
That's what that is.
Oh.
They make a cookie butter.
Do they put the Biscoff cookie in there?
It's got that flavor, yeah.
They should put the cookie in there with it.
Though. I mean, I don't disagree with you on that.
No. Now I'm hungry.
I know.
You know, the other day we went to the doctor appointment and I'm having a baby. I'm not having a baby, but my wife is.
If you were having a baby, I would.
I'm not pregnant. My wife
has to be a lot bigger.
That's right. So, yeah, we're 20 weeks. We got another kid on the way, number two. Brian was with number one today. We went and ate at OB's and he sat in the press conference with us.
Couldn't have been better behaved.
And Natty, after the visit, she wanted ice cream. She wanted to go to Churn and Spoon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, specifically wanted to go there. So we went there. She gets the watermelon
sorbet.
Sorbet, yeah. So, had a good time. Even though it was cold outside.
Do you know what this baby's going to be yet?
I'm not going to know until it comes out.
Oh!
Until the thing gets placed in my arms,
yeah,
I will have no idea what the gender is because my wife does not want that.
Y'all have names picked out for either eventuality?
Yes. Yes, we do. She won't allow me to mention it.
Okay.
Right. Because whatever it is, we're surprising the family with it because there's some family names involved.
I got you.
She just wants to have fun with this one. So. You know, we've been trying to have another one for a few years now, and, you know, we're finally going to have one. So.
I think Brian is a great name.
Brian Haydad Falk.
No, Haydad. Don't curse him with that. You know, just give him.
No, Haydad.
No, you can just give him my middle name. It'll be fine. So we can say it now. It's Matthew. So now that Sock knows what it is.
What?
Yeah.
I never knew what it was until now.
That's my middle name, yeah.
Brian Matthew Haydad.
Yes. I thought you knew it this whole time when we were messing around with Sokolov.
I don't think I did.
So
I don't remember that.
You know, I had Sokolov. And we mentioned it in the group text.
No, you never said.
Oh. I thought maybe I didn't say it because I thought everybody else knew it.
No, I don't know if Stefan did, but definitely did.
Yeah, so Sokolov, when he came over to my house to eat lasagna the night before he left, I was like, I got a gift for you. And he's like, what? I just looked at him, I was like, Matthew. And he looked at me, I was like, my middle name is Matthew. And he was just like, oh! He was so happy
because
to finally have it.
He loves,
is the king of your full name.
He loves calling out a full name.
He loves the
like
Robert
no
Stanley
other.
And a Brian Matthews.
That's
so,
right.
There you go. Wherever you are in our great state, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Don't forget to keep sending us tweets and texts and our tweets about where you're from, and you can win a prize pack from Strange Brew Coffeehouse. We're going to be, this is a coffee day, not coffee. It's not a coffee day, it's a coughing day. So we gotta, there you go. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Watching college football, watching those rivalry games with a big steak, what could be better? Well, it could be better to go to one of our great steakhouses across the state of Mississippi. You could always do that as well. Whichever choice you make, know that you're supporting all of our great beef farmers here in the state, guys who do $500 million a year worth of agribusiness right here in the state of Mississippi. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place, these ad reads. This is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. This Black Friday at College Corner, specials all day long. The earlier you get there, the more you can save. So check that out. Cyber Monday will be great specials as well. But we are in the holiday season. If you're looking for something for that Bulldog fan in your life, find it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowway by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. When you want to enjoy a fantastic lunch in the city of Starkville, the place to go is Restaurant Tyler. What about a fantastic dinner? That's what Robbie's going to get to enjoy on my dime very soon.
It ain't over.
This is the last chance.
Random things have been happening in the SEC.
We'll see if I can get there, but one way or the other, one of us is paying for the other guy at Restaurant Tyler in all likelihood. So enjoy a great meal every single time you go out to eat if you go eat at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only where they're located, but also show you, you know, how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. This is the holiday season. You got questions about your money? You can't afford to be waiting around. You're waiting around in enough lines as it is this holiday season. Don't do it on hold with your bank. Get a level of service that you're not used to with Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority.
Creighton, 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 Creighton. Creighton, 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 Creighton.
Big day on the recruiting front for Mississippi State yesterday, Robbie. And three different, like, tiers of recruiting for Mississippi State. A high school commitment, a junior college commitment, and then a transfer portal commitment. Let's start in the transfer portal because I think that needs to be the sign for this week. And, of course, I Saw the Sign is brought to you by our friends over at Pip Printing and Signs, who want to remind you that they can help your business get the message out. What is the message of your business? What do you do? What do you want to be known for? That's what Pip Printing and Signs is going to be able to put together for you. They are going to have a plan put in place. It's going to keep people coming in the door, keep people coming back for more. It's all right there for you at Pip Printing and Signs. 30 years working with businesses across the state. And don't forget, if you're a Bulldog fan, 10% of your sale with Pip Printing and Signs directly to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. Call Cam Baker. Tell him you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning, and he'll take care of the rest. 601-499-5216. Visit them online. Again, the website is pipridgeland.com. When you need printing, call Pip today. So, first off, apparently we were soothsayers. We were fortune tellers.
That was pretty funny. If you think about,
I had no clue that this kid even existed when I did that. But we did good on that.
Neither one of us had a clue this kid existed. Or was visiting.
Yeah. So, but just threw out that if you're going to get a Kennesaw State defensive back. So, that being said, Kennesaw State cornerback Javen Williams is transferring to Mississippi State. So that's why I wanted to make this the sign. Because, you know, recruits come in, coaches go, it's fine. No one ever says anything about a freshman aren't going to, you know, it's just is what it is. For a transfer to come in makes you think that he's built a relationship that he thinks those coaches are going to be there, or does it? Is this a sign one way or the other on the future of Coleman Hutzler?
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't know what's going to happen, man. I really don't. There's been so many mixed messages and things like that. So I don't really know. I mean, I don't think that it's 100% the telltale sign on what's going to happen with Coleman Hutzler. I think Mississippi State's just trying to go ahead and get a jump start on their recruiting in the transfer portal. And, I don't know what that means for the rest of the staff or anything like that. I don't think that it's absolutely means that Hutzler's staying, or absolutely means that Corey Bell or, you know, whoever's is going to stay in the defensive backfield. So you know, coaches leave and coaches get fired and after recruiting guys and getting guys on board all the time. So, you know, they still have a job to do to get those guys committed, and State's got to get on the board quickly with these transfer guys, and that's what they did here.
I think one way to look at it is, regardless of who the next coach is going to be, you want good players,
mm-hmm.
right? Never been a coach that was like, hey, don't give me any good players. I need the worst ones you can get me. So that, you know, maybe it doesn't matter one way or the other. My thought process is, you know, I like to know what those conversations were like, you know, with Jeff Lebby. He was like, look, you know, there's a chance some of these guys may not be here, but, you know, we want you here regardless. We feel like whoever our defensive coordinator is, you can help us. I don't know how you have that conversation. I don't know how that goes down. It would be a very awkward one. What I will say about this kid is, you know, and I'm not, you and I have talked before, you know, the Pro Football Focus numbers, they're not the end-all, be-all that some people like to make them out to be, but they can give you, be a useful guide.
Mm-hmm.
His numbers are good. You know, as a G5 player, he looks like a guy who can make that jump to the next step and be an effective player for Mississippi State. And State certainly needs somebody. I feel like Bryce Pollock has been a guy that, as much as you can break out in this kind of defense, he's been really good for State this year.
Yeah.
He's been about as good as you could have hoped for.
We have to get into the routine of calling him Bryce Pollock.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
It keeps slipping my mind too.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other day, I started thinking about it. I was like, oh, I forgot he doesn't pronounce it Pollock. But anyway, proceed.
I just got to remember. It's just tough to say that word.
It is.
I mean, years, that's a slur.
It's been a little bit of a slur, yeah.
Yeah.
So it is kind of weird to do that. But
yes.
Yeah, that he even said that's how it's pronounced. So
he's been good.
The reason, I mean, you look at him, and like you look at the numbers, you talked about him, the PFF or whatever. I think you could probably back that up, because we don't really talk about him that much, and I think it's because he's doing a really good job in coverage. We're talking a lot about other guys in coverage struggling because they're chasing after other receivers, having to make tackles, missing tackles. I don't see Bryce Pollock that much because he's because he's making plays, and that's a guy that we haven't put him in the same category as Isaac Smith, and I think that's a mistake.
He's been good.
I think that's a guy that you want to have return to this roster next year, build around defensively. He's a really good defensive back. He's a really good cornerback that I think you can really build around next year.
So that's your transfer portal commitment.
Yep.
From the high school
ranks. And again, like we were like, we can't have a guy like this. It's not going to get anybody excited. I think there's some nuance to that conversation.
Yeah.
I think there are some group of five guys, and you know, I've always been on board with, I want a group of five guy, or you know, someone even that's in a lower level that's been really good on his level,
mm-hmm.
over a guy that's been a bench warmer in the Power Four.
Right. I don't,
like if a guy's
was,
been
he was a four star coming out of high school, but he hasn't yeah. played yet, that's probably not a good sign.
A guy that's been constantly injured, or you know, he's not getting on the field at Alabama and stuff like that. He's only playing special teams or not playing at all. Like, there are very few of those guys that I'm super excited about. Just because they were ranked a five-star or four-star in high school doesn't mean it's totally going to translate here, you know. And we've seen that. State's picked up guys from Power Four schools that were four-star, five-star players coming out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And they get here, and they don't help you.
Right.
So I want the guys that have been actively playing a lot of snaps. And this guy's got some decent numbers.
Yeah.
I think he can help Mississippi State next year. I think he can compete for a starting spot. He's good enough. Like this isn't a guy that I would want as my number one corner in this transfer class.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get two other guys that are, you know, around the same as him or better, I think it's shaping up to be a good class. So you know, we'll see what happens. I don't think this is a bad thing at all.
Right. Let's go to the high school ranks for State's second commitment of the weekend, and that is 2025 offensive lineman Spencer Dowland, who was previously committed to the Auburn Tigers, decommitted this past week, visited State on Saturday, and immediately jumps into the class. They only has two high school offensive linemen in this class. So they, you know, my guess is in the next couple of, you know, days, you'll see a couple more offers get thrown out to some guys. And, you know, it'll be kind of reminiscent of the old days with Dan Mullen, where we got to get a couple of offensive linemen who's on USM's radar that we can just, we know we can flip. But this was a guy who had good offers. You know, he was supposed to visit Ole Miss, ended up not doing that, had offers from Tennessee and Arkansas as well. So on paper, it looks like a good pickup.
Yeah, you know, State's trying to build up that offensive and defensive line, and it's got to go beyond just junior college and transfer guys. I mean, you still got to have those classes fairly evened out.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have anybody else other than Josiah Clemens, I think, in the high school ranks.
That's correct, yeah.
So this is a good, I think this is a good pickup. Anytime I look at an offer list, even if you're, this is the argument I always use when people say, well, do they have a committable offer right now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, not everybody's going to be able to commit to certain schools at this stage of the game because a lot of them have filled up.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them don't have the same needs that they used to. That doesn't necessarily mean that this guy isn't a good player.
Mm-hmm.
At one point in time, Tennessee wanted him, Ole Miss wanted him, Auburn wanted him. Teams that are known for their offensive style of play, like with coaches that have been innovative on the offensive side of the ball, they liked what they saw in this kid. Big kid, too. I mean, I saw a picture of him yesterday standing next to Jeff Lebby. He's taller than Jeff Lebby, who's a former college offensive lineman. So the size is there. I think the athleticism's there for him. I think this is a solid pickup.
Then you get to a guy who maybe or may not be able to help next year. My first thought is you would hope so. But we have this track record with JUCO offensive linemen, and it takes a little while for them to get going. But the number one JUCO offensive tackle in the country, Saquon Miles, out of Hines Community College down there in Raymond, has committed to Mississippi State. Interesting guy. There was a lot of smoke around him and Ole Miss earlier this week, but apparently comes to Mississippi State and is ready to lock in. This is a guy, you know, December graduate means he'll be here in the spring. That's great news for Mississippi State. You hope you can get him in. I don't know if he's a tackle at the next level or not. We'll have to find out. But, I mean, 6'6 and 300 makes you think he can be with that frame. State needs somebody to step up in one of those tackle spots next year. You know, it'll be him, Jimothy Lewis, Luke Work. We'll see what happens with Pounders. I think Pounders might be okay if you could move him inside. I just don't think he's a tackle. We'll
yeah,
see.
State's got several of those. I think Albert Reese is an NFL guard.
They haven't had a true tackle since Charles Cross left.
Yeah, it's just been tough for them. I think it's just tough to play tackle on this level at this stage of the game. You have these edge rushers that have morphed into just complete freaks. You know, and that started several years ago with the Arden Keys and the Miles Garretts and Montez Sweat and guys like that. I mean, these guys are just Josh Allen. It's just a lot tougher for these players to hold those guys off. And so the prototype is now, like, the guard position is just a safer spot for a lot of these tackles. So a true tackle is that can really dominate in this league is becoming, you know, tougher and tougher to find a guy that can play after play like a Charles Cross, where he just was not giving up sacks. It's very difficult. Those guys are the ones that go, you know, top five in the draft. But if you can get a guy that's normally able to hold his own, you know, he might give up a sack here and there, but, you know, he's able to kind of hold it down. If Saquon Miles can be that, I think this is a good pickup. We've talked a lot about the, you know, kind of the alarming nature of offering a lot of JUCOs, but I don't think that applies to Saquon Miles and some of these others.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these guys that Mississippi State is after are really good players that have Power 4 offers that are being pursued by schools inside the SEC. He's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ole Miss could come back now and say that they weren't recruiting him. That's not true at all, because the statements were put out, you know, across the board that they were going after this guy last week. So I think this is a big win for Mississippi State to get a guy like this. And I think, I don't know if next year what's going to happen with him, because like you said, I mean, it's just been tough to get those JUCO guys ready in year one. But having him here in January will certainly help. And it doesn't hurt to have more competition there at those positions.
I would go into the other commitment that Mississippi State got, but I will not be talking about an out-of-state 2027 commitment.
Yeah,
Just can't you can't fire me up for that one.
An out-of-state 2025 commitment, like,
yeah,
you know, 6 months ago
would have been it was shaky.
Yeah,
I'm definitely not looking 2 years ahead. So
yeah, you know, it's just it's tough to get excited about those guys because they're so impressionable that early,
mm-hmm.
and then you know they start blowing up and teams start coming in. I mean, what happens when that kid gets offered by Georgia or something? I mean, you just have no shot. But what I will say is it's not a bad thing. You know, it could be worse. You could not have a commitment. So, I mean, it's not a bad thing to have a guy like that. We'll
agree.
See what happens.
Agree. I mean, it's better to have him in than out, but we'll see what happens.
Apparently, one of his high school coaches is Christian Ford.
Okay. Former MSU.
Yeah, Scooby.
I always think about how I used to rail. I was like, why are they putting these walk-ons out there? And then he had a game where he had like five catches. And
right.
I was like, you idiot. Like that.
Yeah, he had a good little season in 2021, yeah. Mississippi State.
Yeah. All right. So that's recruiting for the day. The press conference, I mean, what are we doing here, guys? It was like 7 minutes long. There's nothing. There's nothing to be gleaned from that.
So. There was nothing.
So the only thing I got a kick out of him talking about Kiffin on social media. He's like, he'll have his fun there, but whatever. Let's switch over to different sports here. Let's start with soccer. You were at the pitch last night for your first game.
It was my fault.
It was totally your fault. This man comes on the show and likes to make fun of me because I like to watch soccer.
Look,
talks about what a communist sport it is. Then he shows up and they lose. I don't think there's a coincidence in that.
Hey, if I came in here and I was like just all of a sudden this big soccer buff and you know I was bragging about Mississippi State, you know, soccer, talking trash, and I was acting like I've covered the team forever, that'd be one thing. I prefaced yesterday by saying, hey, I normally don't cover soccer. I was filling in for Danny P. Smith. I was just doing my job, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Don't blame me for this.
I'm not blaming you. I won't blame you.
You did blame me.
I did so ironically.
People blamed me.
Well, those people are wrong.
I didn't want to jinx this team. I had to do my job,
okay.
And this is what happened. So I apologize to James Armstrong, Macy Hodge, Maddie Anderson, and the Bulldogs.
Okay.
I let you down.
So, 2-0 final, 2-0, a historic season by any account, by any measure for Mississippi State. And even though they lose some of these key players, it feels like this program is going in the right direction. Now, we've said that before in women's basketball, and we were right. Vic Schaefer did have that program going in the right direction. It wasn't a fluke, okay? We had with volleyball, and they haven't been able to build upon that success that they had two or three years ago when they went to the NCAA tournament. Since then, they haven't been back. Just from what I can tell and from people I've talked to, you know, when we had the Marion Crowder on the other day, you know, the amount of respect she had for James Armstrong at this point was really something else. And it made it feel like this program is going to continue. You know, this is back-to-back seasons, so this isn't a out-of-nowhere fluke. Last year, they were in the Sweet 16 as well. So it feels like they've built upon success, and we'll have to see if they keep it going. But I think the biggest key for them is replacing Maddie Anderson is going to be very tough. She has been a dominant player for, and Macy Hodge, just from a leadership standpoint, is going to be really, really tough.
And Maddie Anderson, she stopped several opportunities last night. I mean, Notre Dame was just kind of relentless. It seemed like they were in position all night long, and they got a couple of breakaways that were just very difficult for Maddie Anderson to get a play on. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, she's been your goalkeeper for 4 years now,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I don't know how you replace what she's done. She was arguably, you know, one of the best defenders in the entire country this year, and the leadership too. And then, you know, Macy Hodge, obviously, what an unbelievable story she has, just kind of following it from afar and, you know, not knowing much about it until this year. I mean, it's just truly inspiring what she was able to do. And the new life, I mean, she talked about it last night, just what Mississippi State has done for her on a personal level beyond just her playing career. that there was a time where she felt like she wasn't enough, and she didn't know what her worth was. And Mississippi State and Mississippi State soccer kind of just brought her back, to life. And that was truly inspiring. And you could kind of see it in how she played that, it meant something for her to be out there. She really appreciated the opportunity that she had. And replacing players like that, it is not easy when you've built such a great culture with them, at the helm, because they've been at the forefront of all this. They were there when things weren't great, and they were there when things were the best they've ever been. So, how do you handle them leaving the room for the first time? That's going to be the test next year for James Armstrong. Now, what we've seen from him so far is his evaluations and his recruiting right now has been fantastic. The players that he has to fit the style that he wants to play, they're perfect fits. So he is losing some talent, he's losing some big pieces, but I think he's kind of afforded himself, the benefit of the doubt right now from what he's been able to do, building a program basically from nothing. That this program before he got here had done basically nothing. He's been here for how long? Get here in 2018?
Something like 28, 28, 19, something like
2019?
that, yeah.
So I think they had been to one NCAA tournament before he got here all time. This was the worst program in the SEC ever. Last in wins in the SEC, last in winning percentage. Texas A&M has more wins, I believe, in SEC play than Mississippi State all time, as a team that joined the league in 2012. So this is a program that had no history before James Armstrong got here. And now, you look at the record books, it's going to be, all these players, all James Armstrong, the attendance records, the top five for sure, have happened this year. It's just been unbelievable what he's done. And, getting to be around him yesterday and kind of, hear his thoughts on the program and stuff. I don't have a whole lot of, worry about what he's going to be able to do at Mississippi State, because it feels like he has built a foundation that is stable and that's going to be able to be sustainable for them. And when you have the support that you suddenly have with this fan base, and like I say, this fan base will support a winner. If you're winning big at Mississippi State,
That is the truth.
they will show up in droves, and it doesn't happen like that everywhere. There are teams out there that have had success like this in different sports. They haven't had this kind of, support. And I think State actually had the largest crowds in the NCAA tournament this year. So, doesn't matter the sport, they'll be there. So I think this is something that could be sustainable for this program.
We shall see. One thing that is sustainable is Mississippi State men's basketball. And I know you were covering high school football Friday night to get a chance to watch. I watched the game,
I
Mississippi
had to
State.
watch on live stats the whole time. It was
It's
that
back
was
and forth.
that was a that wasn't fun to watch on
It's
live stats.
difficult, yeah. So for me, State gets the win over SMU, 5-0 now on the season. I thought the biggest takeaway I had from that game was State's ability to win a game where Josh Hubbard is not having his best game. And I would love to know, and we'll never know, but I would love to know if the reason Hubbard played so poorly is
D Wade.
because Dwayne Wade was there.
I think that's a possibility.
I think,
And this is a kid that doesn't get rattled very often,
yeah.
but man, it's tough.
I mean, one of the greatest players of all time is sitting there,
Yeah.
because how did we not know that this relationship existed, by the way?
No clue.
84-79 was your final score. As I mentioned, Hubbard, 4 of 18. I mean, that will not happen very often. Still second on the team in scoring, though, 14 points. Keyshawn Murphy, another great game, despite fouling out pretty early in this one. 16 points, 7 rebounds for him. Melendez off the bench, 15 points. Kugel off the bench, 13 points. Claudell Harris off the bench, 10 points. So State's bench was the difference in this one. They outscored SMU's bench 54-27. State, once again, plus in the rebound category. It's closer than you probably would like it to be, but still plus four.
I mean, they're finding ways to win rebounding.
They're finding ways to win games. I mean, when you look at the stats here, 41% shooting, not great. Now, they were 76% from the free throw line. That's good. You know, stay there. They'll be in fantastic shape. But here's the stat that makes the difference for State. Seven turnovers. Mm-hmm. Only had seven turnovers. That's back-to-back games with seven turnovers and 20 assists. So 20 assists to seven turnovers, that will play. That will play for Mississippi State. Similar game in that State, you know, messed around in the first half, didn't play their best basketball. I will agree with some of the online commentary that I like Sean Jones. I think he has a role to play on this team, but he doesn't need to be starting. In 8 minutes, he had no points. He took no shots. He had one rebound and one turnover. I mean, he needs to be coming off the bench. I think State's best starting five is Clary, Hubbard, Kugel, Matthews, Murphy. And then you can play around with that from an aspect of, are we playing a bigger team, right? Because then you could maybe go Hubbard, Kugel, Melendez, Matthews, Murphy. Or you could go take Kugel out, go Clary, Hubbard. Or you could go, I guess you could go Hubbard, Kugel, Matthews at the three, Murphy at the four, Nwoko at the five. Nwoko only played 11 minutes, hit 2 points and four rebounds before he fouled out. Their bigs gave State some trouble in this game.
Well, they were big.
That Turkish guy, huge, good player. I thought SMU. Do I see tournament team when I watched SMU? I didn't think so. But they are a team that will win some games. That'll end up being a quad two win for Mississippi State. They're 5-0. They have a great chance this week. You know, with UNLV and Northwestern slash Butler to, if they can be 7-0, to really have a great resume going into conference play. Still a couple more games to go after that. And then don't forget, you know, State also coming into the AP poll today, now ranked 25th in the nation, starting to garner a little bit of national respect. I'm just excited to see them win a game. You know, I know Hubbard's going to have a couple of bad games a year. I'm glad he got a stinker out of the way here. But for State to win a game where Hubbard is 4 of 18 and then 2 of 10 from three-point range, that says a lot. They would not have won this game like this a year ago.
No, and that, you know, you asked the question the other day, could there be a number two guy to Hubbard? There needs to be an established guy. I just think it's going to be a different guy every night. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's going to be different people. Yeah. This is a deep team, and they're working with what they have. You know, like we've talked coming into the season about the struggles that they're probably going to have in the post if, you know, somebody doesn't step up there. Mm-hmm. But they keep figuring it out. You know, RJ Melendez is obviously not a post player, but, you know, guys like him playing gritty the way that they do, and Cam Matthews, obviously, they can disrupt a lot of what the teams do and kind of offset the issues that they have rebounding or even scoring in the post. And also, Keyshawn Murphy is coming along. You know, I don't know. Like, I don't think he's a true five at all.
No, but what he's doing, this hybrid thing he's doing, is working.
Yes. And at some point, you know, Mississippi State is going to be clicking on all cylinders with these guards. I don't think we've seen Kanye Clary's best yet. I don't think we've seen Claudell Harris consistently doing what he can do. Riley Kugel starting to play a little more consistent each game. You know, they find ways to you can't just say, like, you know, Hubbard's going to score 20-something and Claudell Harris is going to score 15 and whatever. It's just like in different pieces of the game, different players step up. And it doesn't have to be, you know, Josh Hubbard drops this amount of points and Keyshawn Murphy does this. It's just players going out there and making plays for you when you need to make plays. And that's two games in a row where things were kind of hairy down the stretch and State found a way to win against a Power 4 opponent. And, you know, Utah was neutral site. This was a straight-up road game. This is something that you can definitely pull back on whenever you get to middle of SEC play, mm-hmm. into postseason. These two games can be really important for Mississippi State down the stretch because they found a way to win them. And Chris Jans, when he gets in a huddle in these moments at, you know, I mean, it's that different kind of atmosphere at SMU, but you get in a huddle at Arkansas and you can say, hey, we've been in this moment before.
Yeah.
We've experienced this before. Close out the game. And those players will be able to do it. This is a mentally tough team. They've been down by double digits in back-to-back games in the first half. against 11 against I Utah, think. 13 against SMU.
Yeah.
And they came back and won both of those ball games. That, to me, shows a team that's got the mental toughness that it's very, very hard to teach. And, you know, they're growing right before our eyes. I think we all can see the physical tools that they have and the ability that they have, specifically at the guard spots.
Mm-hmm.
But there still takes – it takes time to gel.
Yeah.
And this team is starting to gel. They're starting to figure it out.
So, I think one of the things that's paid off was Jan's going after Power 5 guys, because they're not having to catch up to the athleticism and the speed in these games, right? They're already there. They know what it takes to play this. Guys who played in the ACC and the Big Ten, they are physically capable of playing SEC basketball. As opposed to, you know, you bring in some guys from the Sun Belt or from the MAC, and it takes them a little while to get up to that level of athleticism. That's not been a case this year. I think that's a good thing for Mississippi State. I really like this team. You know, I'm going to continue to evaluate them, but I think that you know, the preseason hype I had for this team is going to end up being pretty justified. I think they're going to be a top 25 team for most of the year, assuming they don't make any big mistakes between now and then. Good game Friday night, really enjoyable. That's back-to-back games, Robbie, in my opinion, that played in November but felt like they could have been played in March.
Yeah.
They really felt had like that level of intensity.
You know, that the Utah games especially felt like a March game, and then this one felt like, you know, middle of the conference.
Yeah.
SEC, I mean, and here's the thing, like, it's just not a, it wasn't like a great matchup for Mississippi State in terms of what SMU did on their end because of the size. You know, last year, I don't know what that matchup looks like. I mean, the state would have been able to counteract a little bit of the size, I guess.
Last year,
but
that game would have been a lot uglier.
Yeah.
Bell, you could have put Bell and Tolu out there, and they would have eaten up a lot of that, but I don't know that you make this, you know, you have the same number of scorers either. That game's probably 20 points less. It's probably, instead of 84-79, it's probably 64-59.
And I mean, like, it was terribly officiated.
Yeah.
It was a foul every time down the court.
That's
a given. I know.
That's just a given, friend.
But point being, like, every time down the floor, Mississippi State was called for a foul in the second half, it felt like. It was just SMU shooting free throws the whole second half.
Yeah.
And that can get to your team. You know, that can get to you mentally, that, hey, we can't do anything right here. We got guys in foul trouble. Mm-hmm. State found a way, and that was huge. This was a big hurdle to get over. Utah and SMU, big hurdle. And I'm looking at these games that they have in non-conference as, like, I'm literally looking at it like one game at a time.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you have to look at it, is, you know, this is kind of like a gauntlet here for State. And non-conference play, these aren't easy games. And, you know, most of these teams aren't top 25 teams, but it's still very tough ball games against teams that are probably going to be in the postseason one way or the other.
Agreed.
And, you know, you can kind of put them in tiers or whatever, but they're still tough ball games. So now you look at it and you got to go to a Tempe and play another solid team in UNLV. You got Butler or Northwestern. Pittsburgh's a top 25 team coming up. McNeese is a tough team. Memphis is a tough team on the road. If you can just survive this non-conference schedule with, like, maybe two losses tops, I think this team's in really good shape.
Agreed.
But it'd be great to win them all. I mean,
all right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at, so I've already done, So we can go to Two Brothers. I gotta work it all out. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. It's the place for smoked Southern soul food. Hey, Robbie, you'll be in town on Wednesday?
No. Sorry.
You see what happens here, guys. You see,
you're in Thanksgiving week now, and there's just too much going on.
Oh, you're right about that. I'm just seeing. I thought maybe.
Are they even going to be open on Wednesday?
They are. They are closed from Thanksgiving until Tuesday of next week.
Okay.
But we can have that. All right. Well, whatever. Whatever. Well, I guess I just won't get to enjoy some fantastic food.
Well, you can.
I could. I go with my family, I guess. Oh, God. See how that goes. No? They're not going to sell me on that one?
I mean,
even listening. Not even, not, finally caught him, folks. Finally got him. All those years of me zoning out when he's rambling about God knows what.
You zoned out a while ago.
I was reading a thread. I was reading something. It's making me laugh inside. I was laughing inside. Two Brothers Smoked Meats. The older brother, fancy sandwiches, best French fries in town. Two great restaurants within a stone's throw of each other right there in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you. Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50.
50. When you need technology for your business, give them a call. And then if you need service on something they've sold you, it's the same number. It's not a 1-800 number. It's not on hold for 45 minutes to an hour. It's not an out-of-state technician. I'll be there in a week. Imagine if your copier broke and they told you to take a week to fix it. You can't live like that. You shouldn't have to. That's why you call Advantage Business System. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this fall, make sure you are stopping by Maroon & Co. Before you go do anything at the Hump, anything at Duty Noble, you need to make a stop at Maroon & Co. to grab yourself some new gear. And of course, the holidays are upon us. So if you're looking for stuff that you can't get anywhere else, Maroon & Co. is the place to find it. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to the games, you make a stop at Maroon & Co. I am two behind in the SEC picks. This is the final week of the regular season. I have to get two to tie and three to win. I will be picking three different from you this week. We will go with our usual tradition here, Robbie.
So you are going to do what I did last year.
I'm
going to
pick three games differently from you. And okay. That's where it's going to happen. We will do what we did last year. Hold up. That cannot be right. I'm going to tell you something. Hold on. So, you know, when you look at the ESPN thing, it has the link for tickets, right? And it says tickets as low as whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Egg Bowl, it's $58. Arkansas-Missouri is $36, right? Georgia-Georgia Tech, tickets as low as $4,352. What?
There's no way.
Something's wrong there.
There's
you
no
will
way.
Pick first on all of these games, and I will go okay. after you. So we'll start
is
on
Is this what we did last year?
Yes, I picked first, and then you were allowed to choose. All right, so you also on Friday... Clean old-fashioned hate. Georgia Tech at Georgia. Bulldogs are a 19.5-point favorite.
And Georgia Tech's been playing better.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia is...
They did not look great
so
Saturday.
Weird. Yeah. It's just a weird team. I'm going to go with Georgia, but I don't feel great about it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with all the crazy stuff that's been happening in college football, it would not... be beneath football for Georgia to lose this game and go to 9-3 and create even more chaos.
Yeah.
But I think Georgia's going to win.
All right. I'm going to stay with you on this one. I'm going to take Georgia.
This is not one that you're willing to,
right.
to change up. Okay.
Correct. Tennessee at Vanderbilt would be hilarious. Tennessee back into the playoff picture after last weekend's chaos. Vandy would love nothing more. They're already bowl eligible, but they would love nothing more than knock off their arch rival.
I'm going Tennessee. Okay. That they smell the playoffs. I think they're going to come out and control this ball game. They know that this Vanderbilt team's good,
mm-hmm.
And they know that they're capable of winning this game because they've done it already this year mm-hmm. against a playoff contending team.
Agreed.
And we're in the game against Texas. And I think Vanderbilt's going to play spirited football. It's going to be a great crowd. But I'm not ready to pick an upset in this one.
Neither am I. I will go with the Tennessee Volunteers here.
Oh, okay.
All right.
You're running out of chances.
No, we got plenty of games left. South Carolina at Clemson. Number 18, South Carolina. Number 17, Clemson. Clemson only a 2.5-point favorite. This should actually legitimately be a really good game. It might be a playoff decider.
South Carolina
is the hottest team in the country. And I think of the three-loss SEC teams, even though they lost to Ole Miss and Alabama, they might get in over them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson at 10-2 could also be maybe a third bid for the ACC if they can win this game. Who do you like?
South Carolina's playing really good football right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Clemson playing at home. I think South Carolina can definitely win this game, but they also have these lapses where they come out and play like crap.
Yeah.
I think this could be a game where that happens.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Clemson.
This was a game where whichever way you picked, I could feel good about going
right.
that way, right? So I will take South Carolina to win this one. They are the hottest team in the country. Sellers is playing at a really high level right now. And Clemson has just been this year. They haven't been great. So I think Carolina wins this one. Louisville is at Kentucky at Kroger's Field.
Kroger's Field.
Yeah.
Okay, Grandpa.
I make that joke every time. Cardinals, a four-point favorite over their in-state rivals.
And benched Brock Vandergriff today. Got a new
Correct.
Quarterback.
Hunter Boley, is that his name?
Yeah.
I remember him in season three at Justified.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Louisville because I just don't have faith in Kentucky.
Okay.
They got the quarterback issue now. Their offense is just really difficult to watch, and their defense is solid. But I think Louisville's going to be able to get this one. Their offense has been a little more, you know, concise, and they've been productive
a little
this year.
Yeah. I will also go with Louisville on this one.
Louisville. Winston County, stand up.
That's right, brother. On their way to another state champion.
Here we go, Wildcats.
Yeah. The Iron Bowl, 2:30, ABC, Auburn at Alabama. If this game was at Auburn, I would pick Auburn. I just want to let you know that. But it is in Tuscaloosa. Alabama's an 11.5-point favorite. It would be nothing real. I don't know. What's funnier, to be honest with you, Freeze losing another Iron Bowl or Alabama in DeBoer's first year going 8-4 and him immediately being on the hot seat? A lot of fun options to have there. Who do you like?
Alabama. Auburn on the road. If this was in Auburn, I could talk myself into it, but Auburn on the road, I just don't trust them. So I'm going to go with Bama here. And Bama's still got an outside chance of getting in the playoffs. I think that they're, you know, they go 9-3, they could work themselves in, I think.
I'm also going to take Alabama. This is not where I wanted to differentiate from you from. If the game was in Auburn, though, I would pick Auburn.
Yeah.
All right. Arkansas at Missouri. We saw Missouri last week. Arkansas already bowl eligible. That's locked up. They are six and they got 6 wins on the year. Missouri is a 3.5-point favorite at home.
I'm going with Missouri playing at home, and I just don't. Arkansas seems like they've kind of fallen off here at the end, and I just don't see upset here for them. I think Missouri wins this, gets to 9 wins, which is just it feels improbable because I don't think this is a very good team. You know, they've just kind of found some ways to win some games, but they have a chance to win 10 if they win this in a bowl game.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Gonna stay. No, I'm sorry. No, this is the one I'm picking.
You have to pick different.
I'm picking different here. Arkansas. I will take the Hogs to win this one. I think, and I'm not just doing that just because. I do think Arkansas has a real chance to win this game. And when Taylen Green is healthy, that team has been able to move the football. And Missouri is just not overly impressive, despite the fact that they look like they're going to win 8, 9, maybe 10 games this year. I like Arkansas on this one. Florida at Florida State. Who would have ever guessed that Florida was going to turn things around the way that they have? They are a 15-point favorite on the road at going to Doak Campbell.
Crazy.
Florida State did get back on the winning side of things this past week with the game against Charleston Southern. What are we doing here? We're both going to take Florida.
Yes.
I'm not losing there. Oklahoma.
DJ versus DJ? No, DJ Ugalele.
Yeah, he's out, yeah. Oklahoma at LSU in Tiger Stadium. Oklahoma coming off that massive upset win over Alabama. LSU looking to finish out this season and I don't know, go to the Tax Slayer Bowl, I guess. They're a 6-point favorite over the Sooners.
Yeah, they're going to go to like the Outback Bowl or something. They're going to win this because it's going to be a letdown game for Oklahoma. They gave their last-ditch effort, I think, last week against Alabama. I think LSU wins this game.
I do,
Gets
too.
The 8 wins, and nobody's excited about that.
No, they will not be excited.
They won 8 last year, too, didn't they?
They won 9 with the bowl game.
9-4.
Yeah. So
That's not going to cut it
there,
especially when you're paying Brian Kelly what you're paying.
Exactly. I'll take the Tigers as well. You can see where I'm going with this one.
Down to this.
Yeah. Texas at Texas A&M. Winner goes to the SEC championship game to play Georgia.
Which is just wild for Texas A&M. It doesn't feel like they're in contention.
Yeah.
But if they win this,
they would go to the college football playoff. Yeah.
Crazy. They should have beat Auburn. They should have.
Longhorns, I mean, I can't get over that play. They had the perfect play call. He catches the ball, and he just drops
just
it. Just dropped it in the end zone. Longhorns are a six-point favorite at Kyle Field.
Not overly impressed with Texas. They have not. I mean, they really haven't beaten anybody. Like the schedule has been super soft for them. I don't know who set this schedule up for them in year one to not give them like a gauntlet in year one. Welcome into the SEC.
See this graphic going around?
Yeah, that they were.
They're the only team
that hadn't played two teams with a winning record. Right?
Two SEC teams with a winning record.
That's crazy.
And
they got
UMass has played two. And they haven't played one.
Is that like things just haven't worked out? Like, we saw that schedule preseason, and I think you and I both said undefeated or one loss. I can't remember.
Yeah. Exactly, I said undefeated, and you said one loss.
Yeah.
I had them beating Georgia.
So here we are.
Yeah.
Some
of us know what we're talking about when it comes to Texas.
Yeah. Golly. You know, I feel like Texas A&M has been preparing for this game for 2 weeks, and I do think that's why Mike Elko slipped up and said, well, our focus is on Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have been focusing on that
game.
I'm going to go A&M. I think A&M wins this game because the chaos is bound to happen. I think A&M finds a way to win this game.
Well, I got to be honest, I was totally prepared to pick A&M, but I will gladly take Texas.
I'm sure you will. Let's make this thing interesting.
All right. Clemson, South Carolina.
Clemson, South Carolina.
Arkansas, Missouri. Texas A&M. I got to win all three.
Those are the ones to watch.
I have South Carolina. I have Arkansas. I have the road team in all three games. Interesting.
And I don't want to hear anything about me playing defense.
No, you couldn't have this week.
Well, this is kind of an out of left field pick too. Me going with Texas, the favorite.
I'll get Texas out of this one, I think. But the other two, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
We will see.
If you miss one, it's over.
Yeah, I got.
You'll be down three.
You know, and the other two games will be done when Texas A&M kicks off.
So, it's going to be like it could be like last year with me. I think I was down one or two.
Yeah, but you
know, I picked three different ones from you.
And you missed early. You were out early.
I got greedy, and if I would just pick Kentucky, to beat Louisville,
you would have been in it. But all right, Robbie, I got some bad news for you. You know, this is a short week because we're not going to record on Thursday, so no rumblings this week. We got to stay on board with the Egg Bowl here.
Do we have to?
We do. So. Show today, tomorrow, we'll have some Egg Bowl talk. We'll have our interview with Nick Fitzgerald. Talked to him earlier today. Also, this week on the pod, we're going to put up some classic interviews from the past. Let me make sure the ones that I've got here. I downloaded them earlier today. We've got Daniel Boyd, Robert Bean, and Kevin Fant. All those interviews from the past will be on the podcast feed this week as well. And then Thursday on Thanksgiving morning, 3Ps will go up and it'll just carry you into Friday. Or I may actually upload it on Friday morning. We won't have a Thursday podcast. We'll put it that way. So we'll record on Wednesday, Robbie, but we won't have a podcast on Thursday. That's what we're going to do. All right, guys. Have a great Tuesday. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it. All about control, and if you can take it. All about your debt, and if you can pay it. It's all about pain, and who's gonna make it.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.